There were three things in the envelope.
The first was an 8x10 color photo, and it was a shot of Karen Murphy, director of Chicago PD's Special Investigations Division. She wasn't in uniform, though, or even in business attire. Instead, she was wearing a Red Cross jacket and baseball hat, and she was holding a sawed-off shotgun, an illegal model, in her hands. It was belching flame. In the picture, you could also see a man standing a few feet away, covered in blood from the waist down. A long black steel shaft protruded from his chest, as if he'd been impaled on it. His upper body and head were a blur of dark lines and red blobs. The shotgun was pointing right at the blur. The second was another picture. This one was of Murphy with her hat off, standing over the man's corpse, and I was in the frame with her, my face in profile. The man had been a Renfield, a psychotically violent creature that was human only in the most technical sense. But then the camera shot of his murder was a most technical witness. Murphy and I, and a mercenary named Kincaid, had gone after a nest of vampires of the Black Court, led by a deadly vampire named Mavra. Her minions had objected pretty strenuously. I'd gotten my hand badly burned when Mavra herself took the field against us, and I'd been lucky to get away that lightly. In the end, we'd rescued hostages, dismembered some vampires, and killed Mavra. Or at least we'd killed someone we were meant to think was Mavra. In retrospect, it seemed odd that a vampire known for being able to render herself all but undetectable had lurched out at us from the smoke and ash of her ruined stronghold to be beheaded. But I'd had a full day, and I had been ready to take it on faith. We tried to be as careful as we could during the attack. As a result, we saved some lives we might not have if we'd gone in hell for leather. But that Renfield had come damn close to taking my head off. Murphy killed him for it, and she'd been photographed doing it. I stared at the photos. The pictures were from different angles. That meant that someone else had been in the room taking them. Someone we hadn't even seen. The third item that fell to the coffee table was a piece of typewritten paper covered in the same handwriting as the address on the envelope. It read,
"Dresden, I desire a meeting with you and offer a truce for the duration, bound by my word of honor to be upheld. Meet with me at 7 p.m. tonight at your grave in Graceland Cemetery, in order to help me avoid taking actions that would be unfortunate to you and your ally in the police. Mavra."
The final third of the letter had a lock of golden hair taped to it. I held the picture up next to the letter. The hair was Murphy's. Mavra had her number. With pictures of her committing a felony, and with me aiding and abetting, no less, Mavra could have her out of the cops and behind bars in hours. But even worse was the lock of hair. Mavra was a skilled sorceress and might have been as strong as a full-fledged wizard. With a lock of Murphy's hair, she could do virtually anything she pleased to Murph, and there wouldn't be squat anyone could do about it. Mavra could kill her. Mavra could worse than kill her. It didn't take me long to make up my mind. In supernatural circles, a pledge of truce based upon a word of honor was an institution, especially among the old world types like Mavra. If she was offering a truce so that we could talk, she meant it. She wanted to deal. I stared down at the pictures. She wanted to deal, and she was going to be negotiating from a position of strength. It meant blackmail. And if I didn't play along, Murphy was as good as dead.